Okay, we're just hanging out here now.
Okay.
Live streaming. Live streaming.
Oh.
I'm so bummed, right? It's like
I know you were on a roll.
well, sort of. I mean, being able to I mean, maybe that thing about the categories I could do better, but the problem was part of it, you know, it's like it's actually okay showing that it's a problem to think it through.
Yeah.
Because yeah. I now I'm 60. I'm too old for this.
Oh, that's right. You think 6-0.
Right? Okay.
Yeah, one of my friends turned 60 in April. Yeah, she's 3 years older than me. She's just
Oh,
not.
Hans is in there. He can hear me now. Hello.
Oh, yay.
Okay, so you got sit there and tell me what how can you hear me now? Can you hear me now? Hans, you can hear me now. We were trying to explain. We were trying to explain the whole concept of category and classification and get to William James' philosophical, recognition that you can't think without classification, and therefore, I mean, the too long didn't read spoiler alert is the reason you freak out over taboos and stuff is because your categories are broken. There, now we did it. That took a minute. But the thing is, can you still hear me? Can you still hear me? We're just gonna hang out here, making sure that this like is stable. I don't know.
Yeah, can you hear me? Am I still ungarbled?
I can hear you fine, but you could hear
Yeah, I
me
could have
fine
heard you could
anyway.
hear me. Yeah, I could. You're
So,
very clear.
well, I
Yeah.
mean, so but you and I are just connected through the Skype. So as far as we were concerned, Skype was sending my voice to you fine, but whatever.
Yeah, it's not an equipment error on or equipment fault on your part.
Okay, well,
In other words.
please hang out for a bit and hang out. I'm gonna get drunk now. No. And let's see if it's stable.
I'm going to get hyped up on caffeine.
Stay stable. Man, I'm so bummed. We had so many like triggering. You can still hear us both. Thank you. So many triggering associations and thoughts to share with everyone. I mean, I don't know, we could try it again tomorrow night, but that's I've sort of I as a category, I don't want to stream on the wrong night. Our
Yeah, just do it.
stream night is Friday
Over,
nights.
we'll put up a short Valentine's hello.
Like, here we are.
Psych.
We're here. Well, so this one is actually it's gonna stream, but I deleted the garbled one off the YouTube and everything. And if I don't post it into unauthorized, it doesn't automatically post by itself. So that's all fine.
Okay.
Yeah, this is our tech test, our Valentine's Day tech test. Okay, so everybody who was like, there's Hans and Hans and Hans, right? Hans, what would you like to talk to us about? We'll talk about anything you want.
I'll pick physics.
He'll pick physics. He'll pick physics. Right.
Ignorant of
Yeah. Though if we do, I mean, one day we can figure out how to like, set out Google Hangouts or whatever, so that people can jump on and join us. And no, that's too complicated. Okay. Hans says, I can hear both Casey and the professor fine. And he says he can still hear us fine in the
just a bad
YouTube.
connection. The first time then, maybe.
Well, okay, so something must have happened in the. Remember when I first started it, I for stupid reasons had my Safari playing in the background where I'd set up the YouTube stream link, but I hadn't closed it, and so it started playing. But that was just when we were playing the music, and I
Yeah.
stopped that. But the thing is, if it's quantum causality, yes. That's what we've ended up in
Oh, what that
a
means?
quantum loop. We're in a quantum loop of live stream. Well, I am relieved that it's actually working now. I don't have now that I'm 60, don't have the energy to. And I also the thing is I recorded this morning another podcast with one of the young men from ISI, which is the Intercollegiate Studies Institute. And so, you guys, there will be, I don't know when he's going to get that one posted, right? There would be a video with me from today, but I think they do some processing on them before they post them, rather than we go raw and live and staticky. and therefore the category live stream gets broken because we didn't, the music was fine. Okay, right. So, but this is bizarre. It's like, why would Casey is through the Skype and her projection through the OBS and the Restream IO was fine into the YouTube, but my local recording in the OBS, that is the one that I usually use to upload into YouTube later, right? That one was all garbled too, right? So there's something within the OBS that was garbling me, but not Casey.
Well, that makes sense.
Not to me. I don't know. Why would it garble me and not you?
It's a software thing. It's because it's not an equipment issue. It's a software issue.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I mean, but
I'm not using the software. You are.
Well, but in fact, you are, in order to project it out to them and they could hear you fine.
But it's going through your account.
No. So right? me should be the same. Both of us stream out through OBS into the Restream IO, which then sends out its feed to Telegram if I've turned it on, which hopefully I've turned it off now. Yes. And to unauthorized and to YouTube, right? So it splits them and sends them out.
Okay.
Han says, I could hear Casey fine. I guess some sharing issue on your mic. Right, but she could hear me fine. So it wasn't being sparkly and garbled through my mic.
Not
as such
all.
To her. It was only what the OBS was picking up, which... I just feel old now. I'm 60. Did I tell you I'm 60 now? I don't know. I have not had a birthday that I felt watershed like, right? It's like everyone's, oh, you know, you turn 40. I turned 40 and then my father died a month later.
Aww.
So that kind of got watershed quality, but I wasn't feeling it because I turned 40, right? I was like happy that I was 40 and I, you know, I had just gotten tenure. I was in a job that I enjoyed. I hadn't started learning to fence yet. No, I had. I started at 38. So I was fencing. Everything was good. And then at 50, I was finishing my book. That was all good. 60 is really hitting me hard.
You know, it's weird. 24 hit me.
Oh, yeah?
When I turned 24, I felt really super old. And then when I turned 25, I didn't.
You got younger in the next
Maybe
year.
Maturity level? I don't know. And then I was freaking out about 30 until about 1 second after midnight. And I was like, didn't bother me. But yeah, 60s. Yeah, you can see it in your head. It doesn't feel like it, though, because I think when you reach a certain age, psychologically, you just stop aging. So it feels like in your head, you feel like much younger than you are. So it's kind of difficult to wrap your thoughts around what age you actually are as you get older. That makes sense.
So I think I stopped at about 45. it's hard for me to realize I'm 60 because, right, it's like you say, I don't feel that old.
And the thing
is, then I don't know whether... Do people looking at me see someone who is 60? If I saw myself, it was like if I caught myself in a mirror, right? Would I think, oh, that's an old lady, as opposed to,
well,
right?
if you were 20, you would. Sure, you would. You even remember thinking people who were 30 were ancient, right? When you were a teenager.
Well, this is what I thought about 40. I was like, oh, now I've gotten, now I'm real. Right. I remembered being quite fascinated by, I think people, there were some people that I was paying attention to when I was a teenager and they were, and 40 just seemed like a really good age, right? It was going to be, this was going to be a really good age. 40 was, and it was, right? I had a great time when I was 40 until my father died. But, you know, it was just right around there was a good time. And then 50 felt more like 40 plus, I think, than a new era. Whereas I think now, and it's obviously because of the inauguration 3 weeks. Was it really only 3 weeks ago?
Was it? Wow.
we can put this one, up as a short on the the interval of tonight is the time at the live stream out of time that we're not really sure what time it is, because for goodness sake, has it only been 3 weeks?
I know. It's so much is happening. Every morning is like Christmas morning. I like wake up and what's he done now?
What has he done now, right?
And what has Vance said now? You know, I just can't wait to find out. It's a beautiful thing.
Well, it was certainly a beautiful thing seeing that Trump signed the EO today. Canceling federal funding for schools that mandate the COVID vaccine. Yes.
Yep.
Yes. Good. Yes. With Sean Duffy standing next to him, which is a big deal, right? Because his daughter Evita really led a lot of the UChicago coverage of what it was like in academia during that time, and very, very, mm-hmm. very, very proud. That was nice. Got Mr. Kennedy as HHS and the vaccine held their feet to the fire. And remember how everyone would say, Trump is just going to he's always going to be proud of the vaccine. Well, I think he just proved that he's able to think around that box, that particular box.
Yeah.
Right. Do not mandate this. It may be his greatest accomplishment, warp speed vaccine, but don't mandate that.
Yeah.
Good one. That's a good one.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. We can celebrate that for now. Mm.
Right. I'm almost afraid to say some of these things out loud.
Say it out loud. No more COVID vaccine mandate.
Yeah.
Goodness.
I mean, the very first substance Kennedy wants to investigate is mifepristone.
It's the morning after pill that kills your baby.
Yeah. Yeah, it's the abortion drug, right?
It may make you bleed out because it induces a terrible miscarriage.
Yeah, yeah. I thought as soon as they pushed its legalization, I thought women are going to die. They're going to bleed to death.
And they have.
Because they think, it's great. Just take a pill and my problems are gone. It's gone. No, it's not.
Yeah.
So that was a little surprising because it wasn't on my radar that they were going to even be looking at that.
Well, I mean, obviously they're keeping, they're moving everything too fast. So nothing gets down anybody's radar long. The EO about making America healthy again, I noticed one of the excellent provisions in it is they're going to investigate all of the mood altering drugs that they've set out. I'm like, wow.
That's amazing.
Finally. So in the now lost to history garbled pre-stream that we did for this particular little interval, back 20 years ago when I was doing the psychology classes, I mean, it was already clear that the medicalization of all of these, experiences was completely out of hand, right? It's like at least 20 years, more than that in terms of, you feel a little bit depressed, here, have an SSRI. And
yep. Can't sleep. You must be depressed. Have an SSRI.
Just all of that. Right. And I cannot believe that it's taken 20 years to get to the point where we can actually say, can we rethink this? This is a terrible, terrible, dangerous medieval level of trust in the standard practice. And,
leeches
would have been safe.
Yeah. Bloodletting would have been safer. Really?
Yeah. Hey guys, if you're still listening to us, can we have proof of life that we're still audible? I'm only doing this to make sure that the tech is stable now, and then we're gonna go to sleep and watch more MASH or something, right? Hans, help! There's still four watching, but they're not chatting. Wake up! Talk to us. We've lulled them to sleep.
Good sign.
I don't know, like bedtime stories with the grandma. You're younger than I am, right? I'm old. I'm definitely old enough to be a grandmother. I'm definitely old enough. I want to be a grandmother. That would be nice, right? But we'll sit here.
In my family, people are old enough to be a grandmother when they're like 39. So
Well, fair. My
They
so
had
this is
kids
this was
well
my
hung.
idea when I was 40. My grandmother spent, the last 30 years of her life pretending to be 39 in a few months, and she died at 69, right? So
Oh.
yeah, and I was like, I made it to 40. She never did. Which,
Oh,
sort
I
of a
know what you mean.
psychological
My
trick, right?
grandmother died at 53, and her mother died at 53.
Oh, wow.
So I got nervous when I was 53.
You made it through that one?
I made it through that one,
That's good.
yes. Yeah.
Yeah, my mother-in-law died at 57, so my husband, went through a little. But his dad only just died, and his dad made it into his mid-80s. So, it's like, which example are we going by? My great grandmothers, so I found out, like my two of my no two at least two of my great grandmothers made it into their late 90s.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Yeah, on both
Yeah.
sides, both my dad's grandmother and my mom's grandmother both made it. I'm not sure about the other ones. How many great grandmothers do you have? Four. Two of them made it into their 90s,
Yeah,
but
I
the.
think the I'm trying to this whole, I think my grandmother, different side, my mom's side, she was 84 when she died. But so yeah, it was on my dad's side, but they died really young. But they were really heavy smokers, both of them. So
Yeah, my.
they both died of what do you call it, a stroke or an aneurysm? I think it might have been the cigarettes. But sure.
Yeah, my dad got hit by an embolism at 67. Now we've gone from categories to mortality. All men are
Well,
mortal.
yes.
Socrates is the man. Socrates is mortal.
Right. So we can't really be sad about getting older because, think of the alternatives.
Well, that's always like, so far so good. I mean, and the
Yeah.
thing is, I think so. Rogue Wave, thank you for joining us. We bundled it. Our tech bungled it somehow. So now we're actually just hanging out here long enough to make sure that the tech is okay. And then, alas, alas, realizing that's it. Like, if people think that we're going to go until 10 and then we're not here, they'll be disappointed. And then we'll lose our audience. Maybe we should stick around. But then we have like a truncated halfway video.
I'll just give them teasers next week. It'll be about
Teasers,
categories.
teasers or
Yes, it'll be
categories.
teasers.
Yeah, we did this whole elaborate thing, guys, that we'll never hear because something I did something to my OBS and it all got garbled
Now,
and
I tell you what, I haven't had a philosophy
yeah.
class in 30 years.
Yeah.
So it's nearly 30 years. So it's good that you gave me a preview, so because maybe I can read up a little bit.
No, don't read up, and then I'll have
I
to
can
like
get the
actually sound
cliff
like I know what I'm
notes.
talking about. Okay,
Need
well,
cliff
so I
notes.
mean, this is we're here now. Now that there's Hans and Rogue Wave in the audience and me, right? What happened to Mel? Mel was supposed to be in. Oh, maybe is Mel listening in what happened to Mel?
Telegram? She might be listening
Telegram.
to
No, I
Telegram.
didn't turn Telegram back on.
Oh, okay. Maybe she didn't think we're coming back.
No, I told her we were coming back. This is the raw and unauthorized version of everything. We don't seem to be streaming in unauthorized. Oh no, there we are. Maybe Mel's in that chat. Nope. Well, okay. Well, Hans and Rogue Wave, you want to talk to
What questions have you got
Wait,
for
yes.
Rachel?
What questions do you have for me? Because I'm like I planned this whole thing about, the philosophical problem of categories and the category of audible that's not available in the OBS.
Yes, what category of error have we fallen into first, or in our first attempt to stream tonight?
Well, actually, I mean that we haven't ever had a tech failure quite that significant. I'd say that
Well, we have.
that's not so bad. He says, I just finished the consultation of philosophy. You mean the consolation of philosophy? That's Boethius. Boethius is one of the ones that actually, so now that we've gone like totally sort of hang out and talk philosophy, I can do it this way. Here we go. I'm going to close that split screen. Open this split screen. We're just going to do this like super duper More classroom-like. Okay. This is the pre-version. We'll post this as the like the green room version of what we're going to talk about when we talk about the categories with pictures next week. But the problem was top problem is why people are still arguing with me about nation when we've explained to you it's not a thing that you can define. It's something you have a gut feeling about, and you're absolutely convinced. And every single one of you guys. And Uncouth Barbarian too, right? He's on Substack, promising to listen if once we do the video that unfortunately this is not the video of. That you are going to continue to tell me that you know exactly what a nation is. You are going to try to define it for me, and you are going to give me properties of a nation that you think are absolutely definitive for that particular category, nation. What we wanted to do, and what we will sort of proceed to think about how to sustain when I'm less tired next week. Is show you that there's similar kinds of categories that you will be very, very upset with to have broken. And we're trying to examine the sort of problem of what it is to feel a classification broken. And this will lead us ultimately, we hope, into a conversation about taboos and what they are and why they feel so real when clearly they are in some ways social fictions, but we don't exactly know what they are. And what I have is Mary Douglas's book, Purity and Danger, which has I had to buy a new copy because I lost my undergraduate copy somewhere on campus in my bookshelf. And this is a totally stupid cover for the book. It's like a drain and some soap. The copy that I have somewhere on campus lost has I think it's a picture of the fall of or the Adam and Eve or something like that. So it's a little more mythological, but still a little bit inappropriate. Anyway, that we get to the problem of these classifications somehow have to do with both the sacred and dirt and what the danger is in breaking the boundaries. But because I can't do that right now and I'm tired, I'm going to read to you from Boethius about categories. Just a second. I got to look at my now. I'm in my we'll go to the Trivium. Oops, no, Seven Liberal Arts.
That's
Seven Liberal
the
Arts.
fall. The fall is just perfect for that, though, because it's a taboo, right? Don't eat from that tree.
Right. Okay. Yes.
Perfect.
No, listen. Nope. Just a second. I don't know where I've categorized or filed my readings on. The Aristotelian categories. Just a second, let me look for it. Wow, I can't even. I'm so tired. I can't even find something in my iPad that I know is in here. Bede, figures, Theophilus. Well, phooey. Dialectic, rhetoric. Dum-de-dum. Universals and particulars, that is it. Okay. Aristotle. This is from the categories, the actual book called Categories and the Things That Are. This will give you a sample of why they ended up in arguments about this text. But anyway, chapter two, of things that are said, therefore, like utterances and things that we can actually like verbalize, right? Of things that are said, some involve combination, while others are said without combination. Examples of those involving combination are: human being runs, human being wins. And of those without combination, human being ox runs, wins. Okay. Of things there are, some are said of a subject, but are not in any subject. For example, human being is said of a subject, the individual human being, but is not in any subject. Some are in a subject, but are not said of any subject. Parentheses. By in a subject, I mean what is in something, not as a part. It cannot exist separately from what it is in. For example, the individual knowledge of grammar is in a subject, the soul, but is not said of any subject, and the individual white is in a subject, the body, for all color is in a body, but is not said of any subject. C. Some are both said of a subject and in a subject. For example, knowledge is in a subject, the soul, and is also said of a subject, knowledge of grammar. D. Some are neither in a subject nor said of a subject, for example, the individual human being or the individual horse, for nothing of this sort is either in a subject or said of a subject. Things that are individual and numerically one are, without exception, not said of any subject, but there is nothing to prevent some of them from being in a subject. The individual knowledge of grammar is one of the things in a subject.
Yes, this is why I needed a tutor every single day I took philosophy. Okay.
Well, so, I mean, what's funny is he's actually just trying to define, like, categories of thought, right? They're the categories. They're then he's distinguishing those from the categories of definition and the categories of, okay, so it's predication, things that can be said of something else, and things that simply are, right? So a substance, this is chapter five, that's which is called a substance, most strictly, primarily, most of all, is that which is neither said of a subject nor in a subject. For example, the individual human being or the individual horse. I mean, it's. I would need to read that a few times. Yeah.
Hey, 10 for me. It's so okay.
It's this book that drove like 1,000 years of philosophy before they found the rest of Aristotle and started arguing about, you know, laws of motion, which I think was a kind of relief after this, right? That it's interesting. I'm just noticing now that which is called a substance is that which is neither said of a subject nor in a subject. So maybe I've never noticed this before because I was always trying to do it in front of a class with a piece of chalk, that substance is only negatively defined. He's saying it's a substance if it's not said of or nor said to be in a subject. So the human being or the individual horse, right? The individual human being or the individual horse. The species in which the things primarily called substances are called secondary substances, as also are the genera of these species. For example, the individual human being belongs in a species, human being. An animal is a genus of the species. So these two, both human being and animal, are called secondary substances. It is clear from what has been said that if something is said of a subject, both its name and its definition are necessarily predicated of the subject. For example, human being is said of a subject, the individual human being, and the name is, of course, predicated, since you will be predicating human being of the individual human being, and also the definition of human being will be predicated of the individual human being, since the individual human being is also a human being. Thus, both the name and the definition will be predicated of the subject. But as for things which are in a subject, in most cases, neither the name nor the definition is predicated of the subject. In some cases, there is nothing to prevent...
All I hear is predicate.
In some cases,
I hear those two words over and over.
There is nothing to prevent the name. Are you kidding? It's like the schoolboys in medieval Europe were late, you know, beset with this. Okay, so none of this made any sense primarily, and so people started writing commentaries on it. Right. So this is the Isagoge of Porphyry. And it was said at the beginning of Aristotle's logic as an introduction, right? Because it's so impossible to understand what Aristotle's saying. It's for to say, okay, so.
And it weeds out the weak like me. So.
Let me see if I.
Can't understand this, so I won't understand the rest of it.
Well, fine. Okay, so he's trying to distinguish between genus and species. Okay, so and th this Porphyry sets this up as a problem. I forget when Porphyry's writing. Late antiquity, don't worry about it. Okay, I mean, but this is not medieval, right? This is still all ancient. They are texts that are known in the Middle Ages, but and argued over. But okay, so Porphyry, he says the five predicables, since Crisoarius, like he's trying, they're addressed to students, right? To teach about Aristotle's categories, it is necessary to know what genus and difference are, as well as species, property, and accident. And since reflection on these things is useful for giving definitions, and in general for matters pertaining to division and demonstration, therefore, I shall give you a brief account and shall try in a few words, as in the manner of an introduction, to go over what our elders said about these things. I shall abstain from deeper inquiries and aim as appropriate at the simpler ones. For example, I shall beg off saying anything about A, whether genera and species are real and are situated in bare thoughts alone, or are situated. So that's the big debate about universals and about universals, whether they're real or simply names. B, whether as real they are bodies or incorporeals, and C, whether they are separated or insensibles and have their reality in connection with them. Such business is profound and requires another greater investigation. Instead, I shall now try to show you how the ancients, the Peripatetics amongst the most of all, interpreted genus and species and other matters before us in a more logical fashion. Okay, so what they're trying to do, I mean, this is what's funny, is they're trying to define what it is to define.
Right, and
They're trying to figure out how you can talk about anything, how you can talk about things, right? And they're not just saying concepts. They're actually trying to say, how do we define things, and how do we talk about things when you can predicate something, it's simply you can say of something, right? So
one of the first things he said, though, was what we got from our elders. So it's because I said so, right?
well, it's, I mean, they're starting with Aristotle, and they're trying to make sense of Aristotle, and what we have a lot of throughout the ancient medieval educational tradition is these commentaries on Aristotle, because they're trying to make sense of it. And the whole the whole premise that the Latins are getting all of their philosophy from the Muslims, what they're mainly getting are commentaries on Aristotle. I mean, also some mathematical treatises and stuff, but like Avicenna and Averroes are, Avicenna's the commentator, right? He comments on Aristotle, on the philosopher. But it's okay when he tries to explain species, for example. First, you have to have genus. It seems that neither genus or species it says in single sense. Okay, forget Porphyry. Let's try. We're trying to get to Boethius here. Okay, Boethius. Maybe Boethius will make more sense. We got a rogue wave and Hans listening. That's it. Okay. Okay. So, Boethius, the deeper questions. On the subject of genera and species, Porphyry says, right? See that we had Aristotle, and then Porphyry writes a commentary on Aristotle, and then Boethius writes a commentary on Porphyry writing the commentary on Aristotle. It's just like nest.
Honestly, it just what it reminds me of is watching all of these YouTube videos that are commenting on other YouTube videos that are commenting on other YouTube videos.
And this
Like
one,
the joke.
we're not even able to do this because I bungled this one at the beginning, right? It's like our sub commentary on our own commentary, right? Okay, so he says, he repeats what I just read. On the subject of genera and species, Porphyry says, I shall at present decline to say whether they subsist or are given in mere bare thoughts, and whether as subsistence they are corporeal or incorporeal, and whether they are separate from sensible items or given in sensible items as existing in around them. For topics of this sort are very deep and demand a long inquiry. So Boethius then says, I omit the deeper questions, Porphyry says, in order not to upset readers' initial efforts by having them pay attention to these matters at the wrong time. They are trying to figure out, like, what's the right order to present this problem in. And indeed, I as I said in the garbled bit that you guys lost, this is like a metaphor for the entire tradition. These sorts of questions of how we classify and categorize and have concepts that we think with are a living problem right now in cognitive psychology. Like there's whole like sub discussions of this problem of being able to classify and categorize and understand why we can hold thoughts in our minds and say things of other things. And they're wrestling with like, where do you start to try to get people to pay attention to this problem? But so that the reader will not overlook them altogether and think there is nothing more hidden here than what Porphyry himself had said, he introduces the very topic whose treatment he has promised to delay. By not at all treating the topic obscurely and exhaustively, he avoids overwhelming the reader with obscurities and yet enables the reader, strengthened by knowledge, to understand what it is that could rightly be inquired about. He spends several paragraphs saying how he's not going to make it too complicated. Okay. Okay, here, this is almost getting to a place where it makes somewhat sense. Genera and species, which are the sort of, so you have an individual, which you can then recognize belonging to this set species, right? So human being belongs, a human being belongs to human beings, or a dog belongs to dogs, right? And then species are sets of, genera are sets of species. It's set theory, basically. Maybe we need mathematics. This is actually what I figured out in reading the Scholastics now. They are thinking mathematically, and I think, in fact, what we're dealing with is set theory. So everybody had new math and suffered through it in fourth grade, like I did when I was in fourth grade. Mm-hmm. That's what they were trying to get. They were trying to get us to think like Aristotle, maybe.
In fourth grade. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Did they give you set theory in fourth grade? I did so badly. They thought I was an idiot. Like I got, you know, apparently murmurs from the teachers to my parents that I was too stupid to, I don't know.
I remember new math. I don't remember what was in it because I did so badly in it. And I've been bad at math ever since.
Yeah. They threw everybody off, right?
Yeah, it did.
It completely threw everybody off. And what they're doing was teaching set theory badly. And in fact, what mm-hmm. set theory is it's meant to be, it's a kind of Aristotelian problem of categories, right? It's like, how do you think of things in things? And this group of things belongs inside this other group of things and shares all the properties of that group of things with this other group of things, but they don't overlap perfectly. And therefore it's an overlapping set rather than the identical set. Ooh, that mm-hmm. almost sounded like I knew what I was talking about mm-hmm. briefly. Okay. So he says, like, genera and species, this is still Boethius. You thought Consolation of Philosophy was the thing he wrote in prison when he didn't have any, like, books with him. I don't know. The thing is, he wrote in prison. I don't know how he got it out, right? Anyway. And then Theodoric squeezed his head open and his eyes popped out because he thought he was a traitor. That's philosophy for you. Okay.
Okay.
Genera and species either exist and subsist, or are formed by the intellect and mere mental activity. Well, whoopee, right? Mm-hmm. So it'd say either these sets actually exist, not the individuals. So everybody recognizes the individuals exist. It's whether the categories that the individuals participate in exist, or are they just things that we hold in our minds? And then he says, but genera and species cannot exist. This is grasped from the following considerations. So in proper Aristotelian terms, they don't exist. Whereas I think in Platonic terms, they might. But the thing is, I don't think Plato talked in terms of genera and species. So there's not perfect overlap in the terminology. Okay. He says, but genera and species cannot exist. Wait, no, he's going to go around with this as a problem. Anyway, this is grasped from the following considerations. Everything that is common to several items at one time cannot be one item. What is common belongs to many items, chiefly when one and the same thing is, as a whole, in many items at one time. For no matter how many species there are, their genus is one item in all of them. Not in the sense that each single species sort of plucks off some part of it, but rather in the sense that at one and the same time, each of the species has the whole genus. I think if we said set and master set, subset and set. From this, it follows that the genus set, which is posited as a whole in several particular species, subsets, at one and the same time, cannot be one item. For it cannot be the case that although it is a whole in several things at one time, nevertheless, in itself, it is one in number. And if it is the case that a genus cannot be one item, then it is utterly nothing. For everything that is because it is one item. The same can be said about species. But even if genera and species do exist...
Nailing jello to a wall.
Ooh, yeah, yeah, yeah. We haven't even gotten to Abelard yet. Okay, Garlandus Compotista, this desperately, by the 11th century, desperately trying to make sense of all of this. Okay, the predicables are just utterances. Okay, the things that you can be said are things that are said. Non-complex utterances. On the five predicables, genera. Oh my God, is there any place that they actually explain this?
They're explaining how to explain it.
Yeah.
They haven't explained it yet.
Okay, well, so the Garlandus Compotista goes through things you can... They're talking... Predicables include genera, collections of items that relate to some one thing and to each other. Okay. But then...
Sounds like a family.
He says, as for example, the genus of Romans relate to Romulus. Or it is an origin of generation. But the third sense, which philosopher used, defined as follows. A genus is what is predicated of many items differing species in respect of what they are. The phrase what is predicated differentiates genera from those things which are not predicated, i.e. from things as opposed to utterances, which do not get placed in propositions. The base level of what they're trying to say is figuring out what you can say. Utterances, right? Things that you can say. This, what can we talk about? So it is like in a deep level, it's like it's linguistics as language theory. No, it's not linguistics. Linguistics is the theories about the way languages work. It's
grammar.
Well, they know grammar is something specific to their grammar. They do actually say grammar. Rhetoric, grammar, logic, and rhetoric are the order that you have to study it. And grammar is parts of speech, basically. They learn things like nouns and verbs mm-hmm. and things like that. Then logic or dialectic is how do you form propositions, right? How do you make things, how do you say things that are actually meaningful? And what sense is the meaning carried in them? And then once you've done all that, you get to rhetoric and you get to write poetry. Okay, go ahead.
I was going to say just that second part is sounds like what the book was trying to decide. How do you formulate ideas?
Yes.
From a common set of accepted definitions.
Yes. Right. So this ironically, obviously I have this in the background of my head and maybe the only way to get through to the point where you can say, and if you're trying to say something like what a nation is, you're doing something way harder than you realize because you're trying to. I think genus in this sense, genus of Romans relates to Romulus. So maybe a nation in these terms is a genus, right? Things that can be said of, predicated of. But they're not sure that these things that can be said actually exist independent of our being able to hold them as mental concepts.
Well, isn't that true of anything?
Well, no, the cat exists. The individuals all exist. Everybody's until like post-modernity and I don't know, relativity.
Okay, well, but a family exists too, and they've got individual members of the family, but they're one family.
Right, but they would actually recognize that's harder to prove whether or not the family exists. You can have the collection of individuals, but if they are a set, does the set, maybe if we say set, maybe that helps. Because the problem is that because the biologists use genus and species as their terminology for the categorization of, and their, you know, like taxonomies of animals and plants and stuff, we get mm-hmm. confused. Our vocabulary is not precise enough to understand what the medieval discussion is because they're doing this before Linnaeus tries to name all the plants. Just say set, right? So if there's a number of human beings and they belong to the set, does the set as such exist independent as something other than the collection of the human? No. Does the set exist? And it exists as a collection of the individuals, but what he's trying to say, it's like what Boethius was earlier trying to say is it's not clear that the set as such exists.
Well, that doesn't make sense to me because you've observed a collection of people and you said, aha, a set.
Okay,
It
right, but
exists
you
because you
observed
observed
it.
it.
You observed it, so it could just be your own concept that these individuals are in this thing called a set, and you've given it reality as a concept. But the thing that the set does not exist independent of your thinking it.
That sounds a little bit like, if a tree falls in the woods and there's no one around to hear it, does it make a sound?
Yeah, sort of, and that.
Reality exists whether or not
No,
I'm
no,
here.
you're so the that's okay. So I maybe we're actually to a point, maybe ironically getting around to the problem of you notice this group. You create this group by observing it. And this isn't like relativity theory observing it. It's you observe that set, and then you say the set exists, and they are actually seriously wondering whether or not the set exists as something independent of your thinking it as a concept.
Why would they do that? Why would they even do that if the word set exists
Well, it might just
prior
be a
to my
word.
observing this?
This is literally, we have finally, you have achieved something.
It's a new
No,
word,
you have
if it's a
achieved
new
something
word.
that I've never been able to achieve with my students in my class. Thank you. You are giving it's a name, right? We've named it. And the problem with using any example of things that people are convinced exist is that you default to believing it exists. Nation, for example. So, set of individuals called Borogrove. Borog, no, this like you got to think of some completely nonsense word. Does the blah, blah, blah exist independent of my concept, blah, blah, blah. And the nominalist realist debate is literally over that, whether the things exist independent of being names.
Well, it sounds like they think reality doesn't exist unless they name it.
No. They okay, and this is actually where we end up with the completely unuseful name Supreme Being. For God, because that William of Ockham and the nominalists by in the 14th century, they're convinced that these things own genus and species are only names. They don't think they actually exist as universals. And therefore,
Why?
because they can't figure out, they can't, they just don't. They don't, they've convinced themselves that they are names only. And that we create names, they're constructs of our mental activity. We see them, we perceive them, we name them, but there is no reality of that thing other than the individuals that we can perceive.
So gender fluidity was invented in the Middle Ages.
Actually, but that we haven't even gone to properties yet. Gender is a property of individual human beings. Right. So no, what we're right now, what we're at is whether there is such a thing as an actual group that exists other than in our observing it as a group.
Well, couldn't you say that about anything in existence?
No, because the cat actually exists.
So there's a group of people standing over there. I just saw them.
No, you made it a collection in your you named it. If you name it, like you can see a multiplicity, right? Multiplicity is not the same thing, right?
You named the cat.
No, the cat. Okay, so we named the cat. The cat exists, right? And
So does that group of people over there?
it's a multiplicity.
So you're saying the people can't be grouped together, that it's
We group
even if
them.
they're,
Our grouping is the concept is our
well,
own group. Our yes is our own concept.
they group themselves together, in
No,
caves to keep warm
because
and
we're
shelter.
okay, so the classification that you're using to say that group is an actual entity, like what he was saying, like the genus as He's trying to, Boethius was trying to figure what is common belongs to many items, chiefly when one and the same thing is as a whole in many items at one time. But he can't imagine the way in which the genus is one item, right? So he can't imagine the way in which the set or the group is anything other than something we have placed in that concept.
Say, I don't follow why he's having a problem identifying physical things.
The physical things exist. That's not what we're not saying that the physical things don't exist. What you're saying is you can see one and one and one and one and one. Right. I mean, another way of saying it is, does, you know, well, no, that's, could you believe numbers exist too? I bet.
Crazy like that,
right? Yeah. No, so funnily enough, many people blame the nominalists for modernity, right? Because one, they end up with this category of, okay, so God must be something that is of being, right? Because they've convinced themselves that, you know, the individuals exist, they have essence, they have being. So God, in order to be God, must be the supreme being, right? But nobody prior to the nominalists talked about God in those terms. He talked about God as the divine, right? It's like this, it's its own category, right? Whereas the nominalists managed to put God in the same category of existence with us, right? So however God exists, he must exist supreme to our existence, but it's still within the same, it's like along the same spectrum as us.
Is that really out there for a Christian though? Because God did become a man.
Well, usually when the philosophers do this, they think they're doing everyone a favor, and they don't really recognize the effects of the claims that they're going to be making. It's claiming that the nominalists feed into all of the ways in which our entire concept of society is broken down. I think I'm demonstrating, because you're not able then to think in of things having reality in the way that pre-nominalist thinkers were. But it's okay, let me see if I can find a better example. Okay, so you've got the cats, right? You've got individual cats, and you can see, if you look out and the cats are unherded by the cowboys or the cat cowboys,
the
cat wranglers, right? The cat wranglers have not wrangled the cats into any collection, right? They're just all out there wandering around in the fields. There's lots of individual cats, but there's no group of cats, right? There's just lots of individual cats. Can you imagine that? You're not denying that there's not lots of cats, right?
No,
but they're not, we're a herd. House cats, there's no herd of cats, right?
There's no pride.
Right. There's no pride of cats. There's no, they're just lots of individual cats. Okay.
Okay.
All right. So the cat wranglers have come along and they've wrangled them all into the individual cats are physically proximate to each other now, right? You've got them all collected together, right? They weren't anything before the cat wranglers put them together, right? They were just wandering around, individuals. Okay. Now they've been collected together so that we might say there's a herd of cats, right? But it's the same number of individual cats as there were prior to being wrangled.
Okay.
Does the herd exist?
Yeah, well, it's artificial, so it will be, I wouldn't call it a herd, I would call it a collection.
Does a collection exist, right? It's in your perception, they've turned into a herd, even though it's exactly the same number of individuals. So they're now in a different kind of relationship because they've been wrangled into a herd, right?
Okay.
Okay. So the genus question that the philosophers are worrying about is there such a thing as that herd, or is that just your concept of that collection? Is there a whole? Is there a single whole that is the herd that is those cats? Or is it just, it's the reality is all those individuals, but the herd is a concept.
I think I'm far too literal for this conversation. I'm thinking, yeah, it's right there. I'm looking at it.
Right,
in my
but
head.
I mean, you named it a herd, and the you know the cat wranglers have put them together in a herd, but it's the exact same number of individuals, right?
Right, but but now we're no longer talking about just individual cats. We're talking about a collection that is made up of individual cats.
We got our audience back. Now we're a live stream again. I feel happy now because we weren't a live stream and they couldn't hear us. Darn it. The live stream has done our philosophical work for us. Darn, 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 darn. Hi, guys. Thank you for coming back. Okay, so let me see whether... Okay, so the framing defines the subject. Okay, so we're sort of there. That's more like a story problem and whether you're able to conceive it. But yes, the framing is a problem here. If we framed it as, with the label herd of cats, right? So it's a genus of cats. It's a herd of cats. Does the herd actually exist? Rogue wave. It's like trying to categorize fairies, sort of. Hello, daydreamer. Naming things is a sort of power, rogue wave. God told Adam to name the animals. Yeah, so, I mean, naming... So realizing cat, 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 cat. You can name the same... The same. Okay, why even we think they're the same, right? This is where you get the philosophical problem of the genus cat, that you've seen a bunch of individual moving things, right? And you say, that's mm-hmm. a cat, that's a cat, that's a cat, that's a cat, that the species cat exists, because somehow conceptually all of those individuals, which definitely exist, they're never getting to the point where nothing exists in this discussion, right? They're simply saying the individuals all are out there. You can claim that there is a species cat to which they all belong, and then you start worrying whether species cat exists independent of being able to predicate it of all those individual cats. And then you could say you've collected all of those individuals that belong to the species cat into this thing that you're calling a herd. Does the herd exist? And the nominalist would say, no, it's just a concept. There's all the individuals, and you are doing this categorization thing in your mind, classifying all of them so that they belong to that category herd, but it's only a name for something you've given concept to.
Why do the nominalists have a problem with that? And these are the same people that applied the label of supreme being to God, correct?
Well, because because they're convinced that there is being, right? So cat, 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 cat. Each of those has being, and then because they've wiped out the ability to talk about anything other than the existence itself, all they can say God must be is a special kind of being.
Yeah, but that implies he's created and he's not.
Well, right. That's the problem.
That's a big problem.
It's a huge problem. It leads, you know, ultimately to that, oh, we don't need the creator because we've got all these beings of themselves by all themselves. You're exactly right. That is exactly where it goes. It breaks philosophically the understanding of creator and creatures because you've categorized them all as simply existence.
Right. They're not all the same thing. They're very different. And God is in the category all on his own.
And that's the perils of philosophy. Yeah. And we haven't even gotten to Judith Butler and gender theory.
She's a novelist. That's out of it.
Yes. Yes. And it all comes out of this. I mean, it does unfortunately come out of this medieval attempt to make sense of. Sorry, I'm losing my voice again. This medieval attempt to come out to make sense of the way Aristotle is trying to describe how you can say. How you can construct. Things we say, right? These utterances. Mm-hmm. And this is like, it is actually basic philosophy because it's... trying to define how we are able to I mean, it's down there. This is why, this is where I always end up stupid like this. And I'm not alone, right? Nobody does this anymore in modern philosophy, as far as I understand. We certainly don't do it in medieval studies because nobody does philosophy. And when we all get together and talk about, you realize why transubstantiation turns into a thing, right?
I was thinking about that. Yeah. The part that we had to delete because of our tech issues, but this idea of the elements and accidents, and it's like, oh, it sounds like transubstantiation.
It is
when it's been described.
This is the language that they're then start trying to talk about. It's like if there's substance of bread, and you've consecrated it, and now is there any substance of bread left, or is it all substance of God, right? The body of God. And because they said, well, it can't be bread substance and God substance together mixed in somehow. So it must be transubstantiated so that it's only God substance and no more bread substance.
Yeah, right. This is the difference between consubstantiation, I think some people call it, transubstantiation.
Right.
Right.
And then when you lose this philosophical grounding of thinking in terms of substance, and for example, after the nominalists, and then Luther basically he's trained by nominalists because everybody is by that point. They get very frustrated because saying this is all nonsense. The debate over like, is it a symbol or is it something you actually just believe? Is, the Eucharist simply something that happens among the faithful? Right. In fact, all of those had been available as arguments in the 12th century as they're trying to work it through. But the simplest version is this Aristotelian claim of the substance is the thing that cannot be said of or in. So it's the it's basic, right, to existence. It subsists, and they just mean in that sense it stands under. It's basic. Mm. Mm-hmm. So you can't, everything else that gets, okay. So we got the genus is the collection that we're trying to figure out how it works with. Species has two senses, one in respect of things, the other in respect of utterances. And things, the form of anything is called a species because it is through its form that anything is inspected. It is species in respect of utterances that philosophers talk about it, and it's defined as follows. A species is a type of individuals that falls under a genus, which is what we've been talking about. So species, the word in other forms means appearance, right? So it's form. Mm-hmm. So cat, these cats all have the form of cat, right? So they're the species cat. And then a collection of them is the genus herd that we've been working with. Okay, and then so you can talk about genus, you can talk about species, you can talk about differences. So you can tell the difference between this species and that species, right? Mm-hmm. And then properties has four senses, that which is predicated only of one species, even if not universally. Two, that which is predicated of only one species, both universally and at some time. Three, that it was okay. Properties are things that you could say of something else. And then accidents belongs to and is absent from a subject without involving the destruction of the subject. You think get colors and things like that. Capable of laughing. I mean, it'd be descriptions that we have. Rogue wave nominalism then leads to Descartes, yes. Herman saying the cat only exists only if it is observed, which I guess would cut down a kitty litter cost if you simply ignore your cat. So I think some of the problem here is, yes, thanks to Schrodinger's observational joke, the medieval philosophers are not imagining that nothing exists unless you observe it. That's not the point. That the individuals actually exist, all the individuals, and I don't think they ever deny the individuals exist. They simply are the individuals. What they worry about is whether the species, which is being able to see, okay, maybe I can say this, see a bunch of resemblances between individuals. So cat form, right? So you see a bunch of cat forms, that must be the species cat, right? And then the collection of the individual cats that belong to the species cat, can that be a collection? Does the collection actually exist? And then you realize, so it's like family and nation and all of those are kinds of collections of individuals. And we have this sort of, you know, it's not really folk wisdom, it's like philosophical realist conviction that those things actually do exist. Which is, again, different from being able to define what it means to have what the properties of that genus actually are, what it takes to create that entity nation. Then we get to Abelard on the existence and the nature of universals. There has got to be, I've dug around in the scholarship, and usually what happens in the history of medieval philosophy, at least insofar as I've seen it, is they just paraphrase all of these texts and never, I mean, like, I have good friends who, you know, are in intellectual history and have written books on this stuff, and I'm like, I still don't understand how to talk about this. I do think some of it goes into mathematical language, and particularly because the people that, you know, enjoy this sort of philosophical problem in logic end up being the ones that we think of as like the proto-mathematicians. So Descartes is within that tradition appropriately, because he's both thinking about existence and the mathematical mapping of things.
Okay, that was my question. How do you get how do you tell a normie like myself, how do you go from mathematics to we're going to define what a nation is? How are they in any way related?
It's a category problem. It's what can you put in sets?
So mathematical sets.
Well, we set things all, we institutions are collections of individuals doing certain things. I mean, all of our social organization are category questions. What's a city? Right. What's a university? What's a state? What's a government? Agency? What's a government agency? Right.
Yeah.
And
so that's actually very relevant right now, mm-hmm. because a lot of the agencies are going to be shut down or tremendously reduced, and I think probably shut down. There's probably too many of them, but they've been around for so long that it's an institution. So isn't the institution, and this is what a lot of category errors people are making right now, isn't the institution the government, right? And there's a fight going on right now over that. It's like, no, the elected officials are the government. The agencies are just carrying out the actual government's wishes. And there's some people who think the opposite. I think the government stays there and the politicians just come and go. And so the government must be running, you know, the country. And what is the country? The country is a nation. What is a nation, right? This is all kind of wrapped up together.
Well, so what, I mean, all of the things that you're naming seem to have reality for people. Agencies and institutions and government and such, and we behave as if they are real. That human beings seem to,
or we behave as if they're something that they're not, right?
No, I'm actually simply thinking in terms right now, it's like whether they exist and how we hold them in our minds with the conviction that they do exist independent of, I mean, we it's interesting how we can project this conviction that they exist independent of our ability to hold the concept in our heads.
My literalness is creating a complete mental block right now.
Maybe this is, it's like even getting to the problem of the where we were going to with taboo is, once you convince these things are absolutely real, you will be very, very upset if you see people challenging their
yes.
boundaries.
Yeah, and that's what we see going on right now.
Right.
I'm trying to find something relational to what you're talking about
Yeah.
that's currently relevant. And the best example I can come up with since oh gosh, this please bear with me, everybody. There's so much going on in our country right now. And I think it's all good, but a lot of people are going to be very upset by it because it's going to challenge the way they've been thinking for a very long time. We have a $36 trillion debt because it keeps growing by thousands of dollars every second we're talking. And they're trying to cut that and eliminate it and trying to get it reversing. And it's instead of rocketing up, they're trying to rocket it back down. And one of the ways they have to do this is to cut spending. And this is where the snowball comes in. You have to cut spending, which means you have to cut jobs, which means you have to challenge people's thinkings of their forever job, which was never supposed to be a forever job, and agencies that were forever agencies that were never supposed to be forever agencies. And within those agencies, a forever budget, which is agency money. This is the way the people in the agencies talk about it. They don't say taxpayer money. They don't say public funds. They say agency money. This is our money. This is our money. We can spend it what we want to. Now, people have been fired recently over the past couple of days for contravening the president's direct orders not to spend money on a specific program, and they did it anyway because he can't tell us what to do. They probably literally thought he can't tell us what to do. So a lot of these things are being challenged. A lot of these things that people thought were reality weren't, and they're being directly challenged right now. These are categories of reality in these people's minds and in their culture, right? And their government culture. And it's because they've never been challenged before, and they're being
Yes.
challenged now.
I think what you're saying does fit in what I'm trying to describe. The certainly people's reaction to them as if they're real is part
Yes.
of it. Rather than that they are constructions. I mean, it's interesting. So this is a sort of internal problem to our ability to do this c with concepts, that you can create a group for the Dragon Common Room, for example, and then it somehow exists. I mean, maybe that's a pro. It's like the Dragon Common Room, does it exist?
It exists as a bunch of ones and O's.
Okay, no, don't go
And it
there.
exists in our minds.
It exists in our minds as a social
And in our
thing, as a
minds,
social
right.
thing, right? And you can talk about
Yeah.
that, we have DCR exists, it is a thing, right? Or is it simply, the group of us that either chat in the Telegram group or that get together in these live streams or that, write our poems together and such, and that it only exists insofar as we individuals have a concept that it's something we're participating in. And yet, and we have talked about this, and I can't remember which one we were talking about it, which stream it was in, where, that cities can have this sense of, I mean, the egregore thing, right? That there is this sort of phenomenon of that's saying that that collection of individuals that goes together to make a city has some reality. I think the egregore is a different sort of problem, but that feeling that we have that these collections actually exist independent of our thinking of them conceptually is what we're up against. And it's very, very interesting this as human beings, we think these things into being, and then we will be incredibly threatened if the ways in which we've described them and what belongs inside them and what doesn't are challenged. And then we get to the problem of the categories that we've used to think about ourselves as collectives, which include things like nation, men, women. I mean, those are primary categories, right? Men, women, other just collections of individuals. I'm trying to think of what we
Mother,
actually put in
father.
our groups. Yeah, it's a well, and then their roles, right? Their social roles that we have, that all of these things that get given this sense of reality. And at the very basic level, what the philosophical discussion is trying to figure out is the degree to which things are real.
Mm-hmm.
The next level up is then, what do you do when your concepts are challenged, and how dangerous that feels?
Right. Could be dangerous for the one challenging it too.
Right. Oh no. Rogue Wave says either my internet is lagging or the stream is acting up. It's cutting in and out. Never mind. I refreshed and all good. Okay. You nearly gave me a heart attack. Okay. Well, we've been going now for about an hour, and guys, can you check in and make sure? Rogue Wave said he cut in and out. Can everybody else please just say something? I know you're there. There's a few of you listening. Is it still good? Because we wanted just to make sure. Herman and Robert, Daydreamer, guys, speak to me. The problem is there's some lag on the stream, so I can't like beg them to talk and then have it happen immediately. As far that we're in the future as far as they're concerned. Or wait, the past? No, we're in the past. They're in our future. Wait. I don't know. The time frame. The internet is not instantaneous. It's not actually physically real. Our time is relative to theirs.
Let's trigger Hans now.
I can't. He's not sorry about the technical difficulties, ladies. Yes, please help us, Fat. We just need to be reassured that whatever we've said can be recorded, and we'll post it, you know, for completeness sake, that there was a stream tonight, but it was categorically different from all the other streams because we're I don't know how to explain this. I know in my gut why everybody's freaking out all the time about taboos and all of the complexities of this, technical difficulties of this stream, and my inability to make sense of either Aristotle or Porphyry or Boethius or Garlandus Compotistus is, I don't know how to explain it. I mean, Casey's picking up on a lot of it, but I still feel there's layers that are different.
It's nothing that can be explained easily, right? Philosophy is not an easy study.
Yes, and yep. Part of the problem, and it's not a very practiced study right now either. And so,
if rhetoric is studied at all, I understand it's only studied within the confines of studying law, So it has to have a direct
forensic
benefit,
persuasive, right? Yeah. So I mean, the thing is, rhetoric is studied a lot because it's called advertising, right? It's persuasion.
Yeah.
We study persuasive speech a good deal.
Mm-hmm.
Grammar and what we're trying to deal with here, definitions and dialectic. I mean, we haven't even got to like making arguments. I mean, this is literally simply at the state of defining.
Yeah.
And that defining exercise is, in fact, what we've just like destroyed a good part of the goodwill of our society over. don't think this is irrelevant, abstract problems. This is literally why you can't figure out what diversity, equity, inclusion means. Because you don't know what to define belongs to what. Oh, fair. At the end of an hour, I finally said something hopefully plain. yeah, that is actually where I was heading, right? That's where we were trying to explain why everybody screams at each other when they say that's not a woman. You're working within this problem of species and genus.
Hmm.
Well, there, I did it. I made a point. 2 hours later. Okay. Okay, so stream is good. Thank you. Rogue Wave. Sex versus gender is another one. Dr. Scott Mason discussed this in his last lecture of C.S. Lewis Perlandra. C.S. Lewis indicates the particular comes from the universal. See, Lewis was well-trained in this stuff. Or at least, he and Tolkien had read the medieval philosophy and they recognized the problem. But we need to figure out... Actually, thanks everyone for hanging out and listening to us wrestle with this. This is huge and important, and it really is the reason why we've ended up in the nonsensical arguments about diversity and belonging and gender and trans of varieties of sorts, right? Transubstantiation, in effect, the degree to which substances can be changed. This is all completely topical. And what's wild is it's so basic to our mental functioning that we don't even have we this is what's funny about it. They're trying to figure out the language for defining the way we define anything bigger than that's that individual. But if you say that individual belongs to that species cat, you're already in the philosophical wilderness, because you're trying to say that that individual thingy belongs with other individual thingies in a set that share certain characteristics and so forth. Okay. Well, I think we've done our evening duty to the stream, and
Yes, my brain is
I
full.
well this if
Made an
if this if
excuse.
this is the stream that finally makes us break and go viral, that will be hilarious, don't you think?
That would be
Well,
different. Yeah.
yes. We were just trying to make sure our tech was working tonight. Anyway, thank you all so much for being such wonderful sports and hanging out with us and wrestling with us on how to do this thing called live streaming for the sake of defining our sense of reality. We'll try again next week with the pictures. Good night.
Yeah.